3 as we finish up our series on You Got Mail. A lot of folks don't know, but the book of the Revelation was written as a group of letters to 7 real churches in 7 real cities with 7 groups of saved, baptized believers. And these were independent churches, but it was interesting. They were all on the same postal route. Now, these aren't the only 7 churches that are in that part of Asia. We refer to it Asia Minor or Western Turkey, but They are nonetheless, they were real churches, and John, having been put into exile on Patmos and finally gotten away from everybody to where he could get alone with God, and he wrote the book of the Revelation because God inspired it. God gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to John. John made it, and it got smuggled off the island to these 7 churches. Now, we're going to be in chapter 3. This is the 7th church called the Church of the Laodiceans. There's actually 3 churches in that region. You know, these aren't the only churches in that area. But Colossae and Hierapolis are like sister cities with Laodicea. Colossae was only about 10 miles up the road. We're in door and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And it is that last phrase there that makes me believe that these letters are just as applicable today to churches all across the past 2,000 years, including the ones that live right now. So let us open in prayer. Father, speak now. Father, speak as only you can. Speak through your word. Father, remove the things that are grabbing our attention right now. Father, help us to just focus upon your word. Holy Spirit, it was said that you would lead each one of these churches where those cities were on a postal route. And this one, like I said, we got as close to as far east as you could get in Asia Minor of all the churches that are mentioned. So it was a sister church of Colossae. Now, the commentators will say that each one of these churches pictured a different section of time and illustrated by its characteristics of the church age from the time of Christ until now. And the commentators say this is the modern church. That's what Laodicea pictures. I just think there's always faithful and true witness. In fact, when just before he ascended to heaven, he said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Then he said here, I'm the Amen, I'm the faithful and true witness, I'm the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ is the source of creation. He is the creator God. Do you understand that? Jesus said, look, in John chapter 1, some of you don't believe me, John chapter 1 and verse 3, it's like they're like on a formal retreat, man, and nobody told me the war was over. They're just leaving me. My chest has become part of my drawers. The sand in my gut is now lead in my shorts. God has a sense of humor. God is about to use irony in this letter like never before to the other churches. He says, thou art neither cold nor hot. You're not dead like Sardis, and you're not thriving in the fires of persecution like Smyrna, and you're not going through the dead orthodoxy of Ephesus. You're contrary to what I want. Look at verse 15. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Why? Because if you're hot, then I can direct you. I can lead you. If you were cold, I could bring revival and touch you. Verse 16. So nauseous. Wow. But you know, it wasn't necessarily the fact that they were cold nor hot. It was the fact that the way they saw themselves. It's their view of themselves that just turned God's stomach. Look at verse 17. Because thou sayest. Now look, you're not even cold or hot, but you're saying, I'm rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. This was the church of lost people. This was the first church of the tares. This was a church that said, let's have church, just hold the Jesus. All right? And they were the ones that were having church, but without him. Like the church, welcome. Now, can you imagine going to that church and going, hi, welcome to First Self-Righteous, the everlasting Father. Who are we talking about there, y'all? We're talking about Jesus. talking about the Word that became flesh. We're talking about the Word where everything was made by Him. That's who we're talking about. There is no salvation on believing in a Jesus who was a created being. Now listen, I'm not trying to be hateful. I love you. I got folks in my family who I love dearly who are part of a church where there is no real Jesus. Now, Paul called him by name, and some folks get mad when I do this, but I'm here to tell you the Mormons are not preaching the Jesus of you. Do you understand that? When they come to your door with their little name badge and their little bicycles and backpack, and they knock on your door, they're talking about such a big deal. We want the rest of us to be able to worship in peace. Let's get those kids. Let's just find them some babysitting thing. Brothers and sisters, if we don't teach our kids the Bible, this church will be dead in a generation. Laodicean died because they did not. Have you ever wondered why Christian kids, quote unquote, Christian kids from Christian homes go crazy when they hit college? Because many of them never had Jesus on the inside. They just put Jesus on the outside to keep mom and dad quiet. Wow, got quiet in here. Don't take away my phone. I'll sit up straight in church and I'll obey and I'll talk and I'll be respectful so they don't take away my phone, my Xbox, or my access to my friends. I go out and knock on doors, talk to people. Hi, I'm the church in your neighborhood. I'm from First Baptist. And they're like, we're fine. We're good. Well, if you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? Well, we believe in Shavat, or we believe in Buddha. Or I'm not kidding. They'll say, we become Buddhists. And I'm like, how's that working for you? Well, we're looking for enlightenment. How's that working for you? I found it. You know, it's in Jesus. And they're like, no, we're fine. We don't need your Jesus. You know what turned God's stomach was not the fact that they were wealthy. It wasn't the fact that they were great geopolitically connected. It didn't bother God. It was the fact that the way they looked at themselves, I'm good. I don't need you. I don't need you. Once. I said, Mom, I talked to God. He's been asking me where you've been. That's just kind of relationship me and Mama had. She's all straightened out now. She's in heaven. All right, look at verse 18. He counsels the church. I counsel thee to buy gold of me tried in the fire. God has everything you and I need. Everything. And he has everything the lost world needs. He says in Isaiah 55, ho, hey, wake up, look at me. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to me. Come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. This is all free. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. He says, I've got it. I'm here. Come and your soul shall live, he said in Isaiah 55, verse 3. If you're lost, come to me. If you want true riches, come to me. If you want sight and you're blind, come to me. If you want spiritual blessings, come to me. This is what Christ is saying. That night, I called upon him to be saved. The Bible says in verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. If there's no love, there's no rebuke. If there's no chastening, there's no sonship. He says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. He says, repent. Do you know what repentance is? Man, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I deserved to go to hell. I knew it, and I called upon him to be saved. Repentance, though, listen. Repentance. Let me read you what repentance is. Overcome it. This is another reference to their lost state. If you will overcome this, if you'll overcome the temptation to follow the crowd, if you'll overcome the temptation to just continue being lost so that you can be accepted by your lost friends, if you'll overcome that temptation, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Now, in a few moments, we're going to have an invitation. There's going to be a voice in your head that says, you need to just stay right here. There's going to be a voice in your head that says, you're fine, just stay. You need to ignore that voice. There's going to be a voice in your head that says, what will people think if I go down and pray? You need to ignore that voice. Clear in your speech that we might obey fully, that we might be pleasing. Father, if there's one among us now that is lost, they don't know you as Savior, oh God, please, please, speak to their hearts, convict them of their sin, convince them of their need. Don't let them turn away. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the altar is open. Won't you come as she plays and sings?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus' precious blood.
You know, it surprised everybody that Judas Iscariot was actually lost. It surprised everyone because he's the one everybody looked to carry money. He was the one they looked to for responsibility. He's the one who was always in the forefront, speaking in Christ's presence. And can you imagine when it came out that he was actually lost and he was a phony? Is that your testimony today? Everybody's believed for the past 25 or 30 years, you're saved. You're a real Christian. But only you and God know. You're phony. You try to put him on. You try to turn over a new leaf. You try to wear him like a suit so you can be peaceful at home. So there's no arguments. You bite your tongue. You try to watch the way you behave.